Man, I am so excited to be with you on Facebook. I love the idea that we are a church that isn't bound by a building, because that's the idea of the original church. I mean, it started with just this group of people who went out into Jerusalem and who were telling people about Jesus. It wasn't about the buildings. There were people all over the world that had been dispersed, and this message was going out just like we're going out today. I mean, we're all over the place. I don't know where you are. I'm not even sure where I am right now. But it's just great to be with you here this morning. I want to welcome you to Compassion Christian, to our worship this morning. We hope you enjoy it. We hope you are watching. We hope you're a part of this because we want to be a part of your lives. Let me get some business out of the way right away. There's a lot of us that are all in different places, but here's the key. We're all coming back home at some point. I mean, at some point, we're all getting back here. And so here's what's going to happen when you get back. When you get back, if you're struggling at your house, if there's debris everywhere, if there's a lot of problems and you need help, we want you to go to CompassionChristian.com. There'll be a place on there, a banner on there that you can click on, and you can request help. You'll be able to upload pictures of the damage. And we are going to try to contact you within a couple of hours to find out what's going on. And when we can get a team out there to you. If you want to volunteer, go to CompassionChristian.com and volunteer. Maybe you aren't going to face any damage when you get back, or maybe you'll have some time as the week goes by. Then go to CompassionChristian.com, volunteer to be a part of one of these teams that's going to go out and serve in the community. You know, I love this series that we're in because it's called Better Together, and this is that time when we're going to find out that those words are never more true, that we are better together, that we can accomplish more together when we go out and we are the feet and hands of Jesus into this world. We're thankful that you're here with us this morning, so we hope you enjoy this worship.
Let's sing this together.
And bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name.
He's good. He deserves it. We sing.
Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. Oh, I worship Your holy name. Lord, I worship Your holy name.
Let's just sing that one more time.
And bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. We worship Your holy name. We sing like never before. Oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. Lord, I worship Your holy name. Oh, I worship Your holy name.
We know a lot of you guys are maybe on the road or in Atlanta or hopefully safe in a way with friends or with family. It's awesome to be able to gather as the church wherever we might be and just to lift up our God who loves us, to be reminded of His faithfulness over centuries of time. And so we're just going to sing this song that has been a gift to the church for many, many years. Let's sing Amazing Grace together and just be reminded of His goodness, that we were lost but now we're found, and that we're secure in Him. Let's sing together.
No. saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see.
His grace found us.
'Twas grace that taught my heart to my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. The hour I first be.
You know, I love the fact that we're all over the country right now. I mean, at least all over the Southeast. And yet we're worshiping God. We're doing this together. And like I said earlier, that's the reason I love this series that we're in called Better Together. I think that the church was this idea that we're going to go into the world and make a difference by sharing our story. By sharing the story of what God has done in our lives. And we do that better together. Because God never intended us to do life alone, right? I mean, we all know that. I mean, you go back. I mean, that's why he created Adam. That's why he created Eve, because it's not good to be alone. We're not in this alone. We're not supposed to be in it alone. God wants us in community, serving together, encouraging one another, having all those things in common, just like the church in Acts 2. Where we are this week, though, is talking about that. How do we share that story? How do you share the story of what God has done in your life? I loved Cam's message last week. My favorite part of it was when he came to that part when he said, you just need to go out and share your story. And this week, I've been thinking about, all week long, this passage of Scripture, and what I think is one of the best stories about a guy's story that's recorded in the Bible. It's in John chapter 9, and I'll just kind of paraphrase it for you, but the disciples and Jesus are walking along, and they come into this town, and they see a blind man who is a beggar. And the disciples, you know, they're always trying to figure out what's going on or what's happening or what do you know, because they know he knows everything, but they're just always asking questions, just like you do of any teacher. And so they ask him, they said, Jesus, what happened with this man? Was this man a sinner? What did he do to cause him to be blind? Or was it not him? Was it maybe the sin of his parents? Maybe his parents sinned. See, they believed at that time that that maybe if you had an affliction like that, then maybe it was because you sinned in some way or your parents have sinned, and so that's what happened to you. God did that to you. And Jesus looks at him and says, that's not what happened here. He didn't sin. His parents didn't sin. He said, this is done so that the glory of God can be revealed in him. And then it says he spit on the ground and he made it into some mud. He picked it up and he placed it on the man's eyes. And he told the man to go wash in the pool of Siloam. So the man does exactly that. He goes and washes in the pool. And as those mud-caked eyes come clean, he can see. He's healed. And he's going back. It's not like he's running around telling everybody. He's just walking back. And you can imagine after years of being blind what that must have been like for him, being able to take in all the surrounding and seeing everything for the first time. And people began to notice him, though. They noticed him because this is a guy that's probably been around begging for a long, long time. And so they're like, hey, isn't that the guy that's always begging, that's been blind? Isn't that him? Somebody else said, no, that's not him. It just kind of looks like him. And the man's the whole time saying, no, it's me. It's me. I'm the one. And so they finally, this crowd gathers and they ask him, they said, well, what happened? And the man says, I was blind and I had an encounter with Jesus and now I can see. I was blind and Jesus put mud on my eyes and told me to go wash and now I can see. Well, they think that's amazing, and so they want to take him to the Pharisees, and these are the religious rulers of the day, the religious authorities, and so they take the man to the religious authorities, and that's not a bad thing. They want to confirm it. They want this miracle to be known. They want it to be seen. The problem is that it happened on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees, as we know, are always looking for ways to get Jesus. And so they bring the man in, and they said, what happened? How are you able to see? And the man says, those are great questions. And I don't have all the answers to the how part of how I can see. I don't know why it happened. I don't know how it's possible that it happened. All I know is I was blind. A man named Jesus put mud on my eyes and told me to go wash it off, and now I can see. Well, the Pharisees are upset, all right, because they don't even want to say the name of Jesus. They don't want anything to do with him. And so they're angry with him, and they don't believe him. I don't know how you can argue with this man's experience, but they don't believe him. So they decide, you know what? We're going to bring your parents in, and we'll find out. And so they bring the parents in, and they say, hey, is this your son? Is this the boy that was born blind? Is this the man that's been out there? And the parents say, yeah, that's our son. That's him. Well, how can he see? And they're like, well, we don't know. See, they were trying to get the parents because at the time, if you started following Jesus, you were going to be excommunicated from the Jewish community. You were going to be kicked out. And so the parents knew that. They actually knew what had happened, but they didn't want to say anything about Jesus. They just said, you know what? They found a clever way to get around it. They said, you know, he's of age. You can ask him. They kind of saved themselves there. And so they go and they ask the man again, how can you see? How can this happen? And the man said, I was blind. And I had an encounter with Jesus. And now I can see. You know, that's your story. That's my story. I mean, I've shared my story, parts, almost all of my story with you. But if it comes right down to it, I was blind. I was lonely. I was lost. I didn't have any hope. I was surrounded by people. I had the things that are supposed to make you happy, but there was no joy. And then I met Jesus. And now I have hope. My life has changed. But not just that, when my life changed, the future of my family changed. I was blind, and I had an encounter with Jesus, and now I can see. And that's my story, and that's your story. That's the story that we share, the difference that Jesus has made in our lives. And I want to tell you that story because of this. Because while we're all gone now, you know, and the hard part is that we live in an imperfect world. We serve a perfect God, but we live in an imperfect world. And so we have all kinds of chaos and weather and struggle in this world. And so right now we're dispersed, but we're going to be coming back. And as we come back, you're going to have an opportunity to share your story. You're going to have an opportunity to impact people's lives this week. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know who it's going to be. I just know as I've watched these kinds of things happen wherever we are, the aftermath of them is always people doing life together. That's always, it's always the outcome of these events. We end up doing life together. Think about a year ago when we went through this with Matthew, right? And the week after, what did you hear? I've never seen so many people work so good together. I've never seen so many people come together. You're going to have an opportunity this week. to show what it means that we're better together, that we make an impact together, that we could do more together than we could ever do separately. And you're going to have an opportunity to share your story with someone. That's what I'm going to be praying for this week, that you're going to have an opportunity. And maybe it's that one that you wrote down. Maybe it's the one that's in your mind. You're going to have an opportunity to share your story. And let me read another scripture and just tell you what it means to share your story. You know, Peter had a great story, right? Peter, who was in a boat, and Jesus went and did a sermon on it, and then he told him to go out into the lake, and we're going to catch some fish. Peter didn't want to, but he went anyway, and they caught all this fish, and he was amazed. And Jesus said, I want you to come and follow me. And so Peter goes, yeah, I'm in. I'm going to bring my brother. I'm going to bring James and John, and we're all going to follow you. And Peter's like this sold-out guy, right? But Peter's also the guy with the foot-shaped mouth, because he's always sticking his foot in his mouth with something. He's always doing something. He says incredible things, but he does incredibly stupid things as well. In fact, the night Jesus is arrested, Peter finds out about his story as he denies the man he has followed and loved for the past 3 years. See, Peter has a story, and he knows that. And so he writes to us in 1 Peter chapter 3, and he said these words. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? I mean, who's going to come after you? What does it matter? What does it matter that you face persecution or somebody looks at you and says, oh, you're a Christian? What does it matter if that happens if you're doing good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sakes, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. Listen to this. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Whatever you face, whatever you're going through, in your heart, honor Christ as Lord. If you honor Christ as Lord, basically what he's saying is you can't go wrong. If you're honoring Christ, then it doesn't matter what's going on around you. And what's going on around you might not give you happiness, right? But you can have joy in the midst of what's going on around you because you've honored Christ as Lord in your heart. Honor Christ as Lord in your heart, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Your going to have an opportunity to share your story. And so here's the way you share your story. Let me tell you how you don't share it, first of all. You don't have to defend the Bible. You're not here to defend the church. You're not here to defend miracles or defend suffering or to say any of that or defend or define what faith is. Your job is to be prepared with a defense for the hope that you have now. Your job is to share who you were, and then you met Jesus, and then your life was changed. That's the story he's asking you to share. That's the story he desires for you to go out and tell. And I think the reason is because he knows that's the most impactful way of evangelizing, is to share your life, is to do life with other people, is to engage in conversations and engage in people's lives and share your life and share your story. And it comes down to the fact of, will you do it? Will you be willing to share your story? I was blind and I met Jesus, and now I can see. That's the story he wants you to share. That's my story. That's your story. And so I want to encourage you this week to share that story, to share the difference Jesus has made in your life. When you're going through all the things this week and you're cleaning up and you're helping people, there can be joy in your life because you've revered Christ as Lord in your heart. People will see that and they'll want that. You're going to have an opportunity. I was blind. I met Jesus. And now I can see. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. And thank you for this, your son. Thank you for beginning the story of my life at the cross. Thank you, Father, that you have loved us and you have given us hope. Peter, earlier in his first book, says that we have a hope, an eternal hope that can never perish, spoil, or fade. It's kept in heaven for us. That's the hope we have, Father. The hope that all the chaos in this world's not my home. I have a hope of something beyond now. Father, may we have the courage and the strength to share the story that you have written in our lives. We love you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Himself be faithful. We know that we can trust in him. In our darkest places, he's there. When it feels like he doesn't see us or doesn't know what's going on, he loves us and knows and is is still in control. And so we're just going to sing this song tonight that says, God, you're worthy of every song I could ever think to sing. It makes sense that I would build my life on you. I can trust in everything that you would do. You are good. So we're just going to sing these words together tonight. Jesus, you're the only name that could ever save. You're worthy. We sing.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever bring. We live for you.
Same melody. We're just gonna sing the name of Jesus. Jesus, the name above.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. You're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Just sing this song to God. I will build my life upon your love. It's a firm foundation. I can trust in you. I will not be shaken. I set my eyes upon the Lord.
And I will not.
Hey, man, I am so glad that you were with us today. And I just want you to know that the staff of your church is praying for you. We're praying for your safety and for everything to be okay and for us not to be affected too severely by this terrible storm that's coming through. We've been praying for you. We're going to continue to pray for you. And I can't wait to see you again, to come together as the church, because we're better together. I mean, that's the whole point of this, right? I want to encourage you as we close this time today to do two things as acts of worship. These are things that you can do with your family or on your own. I just want to encourage you to do it. And one of them is I want to encourage you to have a time of communion. And that's an act of worship. So I want to encourage you to find a place, maybe with your family or on your own somewhere. It doesn't have to be grape juice and a piece of unleavened bread. It can be whatever you get. But just take a moment and set it aside and spend some time with your Father, thanking Him for His love and His grace and His mercy, for the hope that we live with today. Thank Him for that. And then I also want to encourage you, as an act of worship, to go online and give just like what you would any other week. You can do that through the app or at the CompassionChristian.com. We'll be using those funds. This week is exactly why we give, so that we can impact our community and tell them and show them about the love of God. So I want to encourage you to do that. I really appreciate you guys joining me today. I hope that this message was encouraging to you. I can't wait for us all to get back here, because truly we are better together. And we're going to find that out this week. Thanks for being here. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for today and for the chance that we've had just to be together. I'm amazed that we're able to do church. We're not in church. We're being the church today. We're all over the place, but we're together, because your word says that wherever two or more are gathered in your name, you are there. Father, you are among us and you have been with us, and we thank you for that. We thank you for loving us, Father, and we thank you for the stories that are going to be written in the coming weeks right here in the Lowcountry. We love you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. We'll see you guys next weekend.